message is by Pastor Mike Hammonds of Angleton First Assembly of God, located in Angleton, Texas. May the Lord bless you and speak to your heart as you listen.
Let's go to Psalm chapter 122, verse 1. We'll use this one verse for our foundation this morning. We were talking about the church last week. We're going to talk about the church a little bit again this morning. But the psalmist says this, "I was glad when they said to me, let us go into the house of the Lord." Or we could give it the modern translation, "I was very happy when they told me it's time to go to church." I was glad to go to church. Now, how many of you were glad to go to church this morning? Yeah, me too. Not everybody is glad to go. In fact, there may be some here right now that did not wake up looking forward to go to church. Some aren't glad to be here. Some are a little bit mad to be here. How many have had your children? You don't have to raise your hand now, but your children weren't so glad to go to church. Yeah, I kind of had to make them, and they went. I was mad when they said to me, "Let's go to church." And then there might be a few spouses included that were sad to go to church. "Honey, you said you'd go." "I was sad when they said, let's go to church." May we all be glad, amen? So last week, the message was called, "This Is the Place." Took it off of a song by the Gaither Vocal Band. Great song. And three quick points. Just want to review, lay a little foundation for you. This is for me. For me, this is what the church means to me personally. For me, the church is about connection. It strengthens my relationship with God. You don't have to go to church to love Jesus. I agree. I've heard that said many times. You're not going to get a whole lot stronger in Jesus staying home, though. And you need some people in your life. You need some iron and like-minded believers around you to strengthen you. So connection strengthens my relationship with God. Also, church for me is about conversation. God talks to me. He can talk to me at home. Yes, he can. But often he inhabits the praises of his people, and I hear him speak right here. So it's about conversation. It helps me in my journey. God directs and orders my steps and helps me know which way to go. And thirdly, church for me is about commitment. My deepest beliefs and values are established and confirmed here. My biggest decisions, many of them have been made right here. For me, the church is vital. And I'll just tell you, where our country is right now, the church is needed more than ever. And the church is in the crosshairs more than ever. And that's okay, because greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. We serve a God who does not lose. Amen? So today's message, also based off of a song. In fact, as soon as I left last week, I already had this stirring in my head. So we're going to take another song, but we're going to do this a little different. See, last week we had to let the live stream audience go, because once you start playing a song that's copyrighted through the recording, Facebook just, you're gone. They cut you off because of copyright issues and things like that. But if you play it live, you're okay. So we have learned the song, and we will do the best of our ability to play this song for you at the end of the message. So Facebook, you get to stay with us through the whole thing this time. This song is called, it's actually called Church, but a lot of people think it's called Take Me Back. Church was released in 2020, last year. How many of you know what song I'm talking about? You've heard it. See, more have heard this song than the other song. This one's on KSBJ. So if you haven't heard it, you're going to hear it. Great, great song. This song tells the story pretty much of a backslider who is yearning to get back to church. A prodigal who is wanting to get back home to a better place. And church, I'm just going to tell you, there's a lot of them out there that are yearning to get back to a better place. They just don't know how to go about it. And you are here for such a time as this. So this song in verse 1, I'm not going to read the whole thing to you. You'll hear it later. But verse 1, it starts with this. "There was a time that I swore I would never go back." Talking about the church. "I was blind to the truth, didn't know what I had. I was running, I was searching. But every place I turned for healing left me more broken than the last. I wanted to read those words because I want you to understand that there's a lot of things to turn to out there. But it's going to leave you empty. We need to turn back to Him, the maker of heaven and earth, the one who created us, the one who holds our very breath in His hands. We need to turn back to Him. And then the course comes along, and I'm not going to give you that whole thing, but my 4 points this morning are taken directly from the course of this song. Title of the message is Take Me Back. Title of the song is Church. Title of the message is Take Me Back. And in the course, he says this: Take me back to the place that feels like home, to the people I can depend on, to the faith that's in my bones, and to the love I had at first. So the 4 points this morning, straight from the song, are up there on the screen. Let's talk about these a little bit. And each one of these grow in importance as we go. Number one, let's talk about the place. To the place that feels like home. It's good to have a place. I want you to know. I've never been homeless. My heart goes out to those who are. It's good to have a place. But not just a home, just a place. How many of you have a special place at your house or somewhere, a special place where you pray and you do your quiet time? I mean, sometimes just wherever, but how many of you have a place that you go to? Yeah, a lot of you. How many of you have that special place where you go eat with your wife, and it takes you back because this is where you first met her 20 years ago. This is where you went on your anniversary. So you've got a special place. Some of you have a special place that you like to vacation. You'd like to go to a lot of places, but there's this one place you keep going back because it's special to you. It's important to have a place. A place can be a good thing. What you do, who you're with, that's all important. But whatever you do and whoever you're with, it all takes place at a place. Connection happens at places. We build relationships in places. Particular places give a certain atmosphere that make it more inviting. When I go to get a coffee and I'm paying too much money for a coffee, you know, I used to joke about the place in Lake Jackson, you know, instead of Starbucks, I always called it $4. I only wish it was $4 now. I don't buy a expensive coffee just to drink while I'm driving down the road. When I go to have an expensive coffee, I want to sit there in the atmosphere because I'm paying not just for the coffee, I'm paying for the environment. It's a place. And when I get to certain places, I have a certain table. That's my place within the place. Some of you at this place have a certain chair. Some of you have walked in and there was a visitor. And instead of being glad that they came to the house of the Lord, you're like, huh, who do they think they are? I know y'all don't do that. And if you do, don't tell me. Just repent. Don't do it again. Experiences happen at places. And then a special or unique experience makes that place special. So I'm going to give you a statement for each one of these 4 points, and here's my statement for this first one concerning a place. Having a place ties you to identity. It ties to your identity and grants a sense of belonging. You ever go somewhere and you're running a little late? You know, the crowd was meeting at the restaurant, but you were running late, and then you walk in, and then somebody goes, hey, over here, I got you a place. All of a sudden, don't you feel good? Somebody thought of you. They held you a place. There's a sense of belonging when somebody holds a place for you. The prodigal son, the Bible says he came to his senses and he decided, I'm going to go back to my father's place. Even Dorothy knew there was no place like home. There is something special about a place. In John 14, 2, Jesus said this, in my father's house are many mansions and I go to prepare a place for you. Now, I know we wrote that song years ago, I've got a mansion just over the hilltop. I'm sorry to tell you, that's not biblical. I don't know that you have a mansion. In the house, in Jesus' Father's house, are many mansions, and you have a place. It might be a closet in one of the mansions. I assure you, you will not get up there and see your place and go, oh, man. Okay, I'll take it. You're going to be happy with your place. Jesus has gone to prepare a place for us. There's a sense of belonging connected to place. Notice what it says. Take me back to the place, what's the rest of that? That feels like home. Over the years, I've been here many years, and over the many years, we've heard it many times. Different guests will come in. In fact, we heard it just a couple of weeks ago. We had some missionaries here. I'm forgetting their names. And they were telling us this at lunch. It says, the place just feels so homey. It feels warm. It feels comfortable. It just feels good. We want that. We don't want it to feel cold and religious and dead and let's get out of here. We have you ever gone to a store that was so not lit very well, aisles were close together, and you got your little basket, and it's like, man, I need to get my stuff and get out of here. Places have a feel. The song says, I want to go back to the place that feels like home. What contributes to a church feeling like home? Maybe a few things. I got a couple. One, I think just the way it looks. I think when you walk in and you see the furniture and the paint and the colors and the lighting and the pictures. You say, oh, that's not the main. Jesus is the main thing. Jesus is absolutely the main thing. But the other things are things. They're not the main thing, but they're things. And they contribute. When I go to Starbucks, I'm not just looking for the coffee. I go into a coffee house. If it doesn't have a feel, I don't spend my money there. So the place itself contributes to how it feels. But more than that, you determine whether or not this place feels a little bit like home. Because what do you see when you go home? When you go home, especially if you've been away from home, you see people who know you, who are glad to see you, and they welcome you, and it feels good to be home. People make a place feel like home. That's why it's good to build a relationship before they ever get here, if you can. But even somebody that just walks in cold because they just felt, I need to go back to church, and they walk in, hopefully they'll run into somebody that has a smile, brushed their teeth, and they've got, you know, a warm embrace or a handshake. There's a welcoming thing going on there. Make them feel good about being here. It's like, hey, that don't work. How do you make a place feel like home? You do it. You do it. Now, the second point, we're fixing to go there. The people I can depend on. It's hard to separate these two points, these first two. See, there's great value in having a place, but it's almost always tied to a people. Right? I can take you to where I grew up. And I can point to places in the yard. I can point to, if I could go inside the house, I could walk you through there. I could point to different things there. And I could tell you, this happened here. My dad did that there. I remember my brother and I did that. My sister over here. And I've got memories all attached to a place. But every memory involves people. So it's hard to separate the place and the people. It matters that we have a place. But the thing is that places trigger memories with people. So let's talk a little bit about the second point, people. In the song it says, I'll take me back to the people I can depend on. This is the reason why most people attend the church they do. Most people go to the church of their choice, not because of the building and the structure and the couches and the free donuts. Most of the people go to the church that they go to because of the other people that go to that church. It's not about the place, it's about the people that are there. So what that means is, there are some people that go to this church because of you. Because of you, somebody else is here. Now, if you get mad and leave, their tie to you is so strong, they're liable to leave too. I'm not saying that's right. Right or wrong, it often works that way. I've heard pastors talk, I've had a family leave, then the dominoes started falling. Yeah, I get it. We shouldn't just leave because somebody else left. That's not the right way to do it, but I'm just telling you how it's often done. A lot of people come to this church because you do, and if you left, they might leave as well. People go to church because of people. People also leave church because of people. Notice what it says. Take me back to the people I can depend on. So I got a question. Are you dependable? Can people depend on you? In the church world, if we're at the altar and they come and they share with you, can they depend on you to not judge them based on what they say? Can they depend on you to keep confidence with them? Can they depend on you to pray with them about that and not go out and share the information? Can they depend on you? Take me back, not just to any people, but a people that has some loyalty and a people that I can depend on. The song goes on to say about these people, they've seen me at my worst. Can you handle seeing somebody at their worst? How many of you want to be seen at your worst? How many of you have a worst that you've kept well hidden? I just saw a couple of hands and we're both like that. Short arms. I'm not saying that we just need to vomit up all our negativity and bad side everywhere on everybody, but hopefully within the church, you can build enough relationships. You know, Jesus had the thousands, right? Had the 500, the 5,000, had the 12, had the 3. Hopefully you've got a crowd of people that you're friends with, but then hopefully you've got a small circle that you can depend on even in some of the more serious issues of life. Show them a little bit of your worst side and you can count on them and you can trust them and depend on them with that information that they're going to hold that and they're not going to just look at you and go, wow, you're a devil. You did what? Here's my point for this one. Church, we must be people of compassion and mercy. See, sometimes somebody decides to come back to church, and the thing they need most is a hug, and instead they get a verse. Not a good verse. I know, it's all good, Pastor. The Bible's all good. Yes. I'm talking about a verse that has that sting in it. You know, how many of y'all know the Bible's got some sting in it? Sometimes people just need a hug. Sometimes they just need to. When the prodigal son came home, the father ran to meet him, slaughtered the calf, had a party. He didn't even go, what are you doing back? Thought you wanted your stuff and you're going to leave and be a big man on your own. Thought you're going to get out there and do it. Yeah, I knew you'd come back. Wouldn't that be a lovely story? Turn to the Gospel of Luke. Let's look at the mean father. No, he was full of compassion and mercy. Well, Pastor, people got to repent. I know. But somewhere we need some mercy and grace and compassion, and somewhere we need some love and just a hug, and man, weep with those that weep. They, you know what? They already know they blew it. They're already mad at themselves for blowing it. They've already heard plenty of other people tell them that they blew it. They've come back to the church looking for something different. When somebody blows it, gets off track, the church should be there to offer a helping hand and not a judgmental punch in the gut. How many of y'all been punched in the gut? I've been punched in the gut. My grandmother punched me in the gut. I'm serious. That's a story all of its own. I ain't got time to tell it. I wish I hadn't said that. Was it hard? I couldn't breathe. When you get punched in the gut, you lose your breath for a while. And then we got some people that walk in that are barely breathing. And they need compassion and mercy. And we give them a judgmental punch in the gut and suck the last bit of breath right out of them that they had. That shouldn't be the church. The church can love. We can get to the other stuff later. May not even ever need to get to it. Because like I said, they already know. Now, let me just take a moment to differentiate between offense and truth. I'm not talking about loving everybody no matter what they believe, no matter what you do that? Oh, you used to be this, and that's fine. Our pastor doesn't care. No, there's right and wrong. I'm just saying we can deal with the right and wrong later, set it aside, and deal with some compassion and mercy. Now, I'm not a big basketball fan, but I do understand March Madness is going on. And some of y'all are watching the March Madness. Cougars won last night. I do know that. I'll just tell you, though, I was hoping RU would beat Arkansas. Oh, don't hate on me. I was rooting for Oral Roberts University. You know why? I just wanted it to keep stirred up. Y'all know what's going on with this? You know why I'm talking about this? This is just a little caveat. We're going to get right back to this. But again, I'm not saying that we just accept people no matter what, we love no matter what, and we compromise all biblical truth and convictions. I'm not saying that. If you've been here a while, you know better than that. But Oral Roberts University won two games in a row against two teams that were stronger than them, predicted to beat them, and they barely lost to Arkansas. And after they'd won the two games, an editorial come out. Won't give you the guy's name. But he expressed the need to push them out of the tournament. They need to be removed from the tournament. What did they do? Cheat? No, they didn't cheat. They need to be removed. Here are the words, in quotes, his words, because their views are wildly out of line with modern society. Now, I'm chuckling, but I want you to know that's serious stuff going on out there. What they just said is ORU needs to be removed. Forget their talent and the fact that they won, and they're rightfully there. They need to be removed because of what they believe. Church, that's a very slippery slope right there. I told you, church is in the crosshairs. We're not going to compromise on biblical truth. We're not going to back down on things like that. So please understand me when I say love them where they are. That doesn't mean you agree with everything. If a prostitute walks in here and she looks like she just came off the street corner, and she goes to that altar over there, I need some woman, no man, to go over there and pray with her and love on her and not share any verse. Just cry and weep and pray. Concluding thought on point two. Some leave the church because of the people. And right or wrong, you may be able to make a case for that. Maybe you were offended. Maybe you were done wrong. Maybe it was inexcusable. But you don't have an excuse just to remain, because there's two things you can do. You can go to the one that offended you, the biblical thing, and work it out. Forgive, repent, and all of that stuff. And if still you can't get back here, you know what you can do? You can find a new place. And that's okay. Sometimes people just need a new start at a new place. But try the other first. Let's try for grace and repentance and forgiveness. So some will leave the church because of people. Others will claim that they no longer believe in God and they have left the faith because of people. You cannot make a case for that. So let's go to point three. Let's talk about faith a little bit. Take me back to the faith that's in my bones. Church should be a place of faith. Faith is what makes this place different than the golf country club place. It makes this place different than social clubs. And I'm not coming down on social clubs. Those places have a value and a purpose as well. Those places are where you go to live your faith. This place is where you come to build your faith. So I'm not shooting down the other places, but church should be different. Church should be a place of faith. Now, some people leave church because of people. They get offended. Somebody's kid bit their kid in the nursery and pastor didn't do anything about it. I'm gone. We've had that happen. Yes, we've had kids bite kids in the nursery. Anybody want to volunteer to work in the nursery? That's why they're biting each other back there. There's no adults, right? Now there's no adults back there. There's another reason people leave church. And it has nothing to do with people in the church. It has to do with the circumstances in their own life. Paul talks about a people who have had their faith suffer shipwreck. And then also Paul later in that same book tells Timothy that in later times, some will depart from the faith. They will abandon the faith. So your faith can be shipwrecked. That's when things happen to you. It usually involves suffering. And then you can abandon your faith. So one is a fallout due to something happening to you. The other is a walkout due to deceiving spirits and a love for the world. But either way, we move away from faith. What is faith? You know what faith is, right? Hebrews 11:1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. One translation says it this way, faith is a conviction of the reality of things we do not see. How many of y'all have a conviction of a reality of something you can't see? God is a reality that is unseen. Heaven is a reality that is unseen. To walk by faith is to live with the unseen reality in mind. It's to live according to the unseen reality. Walk by faith. In that same book, Hebrews 11, it says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. And here, I want you to catch the heart of this. We must believe that two things. God is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. I want to shrink that down. God is, and God will. Faith says God is, and faith says God will. Now hear me on this, because I believe we're going to get to the kind of the crux of the matter for some and the reason they pull out and don't come back. Faith says God is, and faith says God will, but many overstress and overemphasize the God will part over the God is part. We've picked up the idea that faith means everything will work out the way that we want it to. We can choose to call those things that be not as though they are. We speak things into existence. You know who did that in the Bible? God did that. We name it and we claim it. We blab it and grab it. We shout it, just don't doubt it, and it will come to pass. And so we do all of the formulas, and then it doesn't come to pass. God is and God will, but God didn't, so God ain't. God is and God will. That's part of faith, but let me go a little further with this. Faith is a confidence that keeps believing all the pieces are going to somehow fit together, even when you don't have the big picture to work from. It's believing that God has a purpose, even when there seems to be no reason. I don't understand the reason, but I know He has a purpose. See, faith hangs on when things don't go according to your plan. Faith in God gives us the confidence to keep believing and the courage to keep going when things aren't going well. Sometimes faith does heal. Sometimes it does pay the bills. Some of you have had to believe God for a bill to be paid. You've believed God for healing. So it heals, it pays the bills, but sometimes it gives you something more valuable. Sometimes faith gives you the strength to get through the day when there is no perfect healing and when you're not sure how the bills are going to be paid. That also requires faith. Sometimes faith looks like a wife who is praying faithfully over her husband's situation. And then the doctor's report comes back and says, can't explain it, but the tumor's gone. And then we rejoice and we testify about God's healing power and faith. But you know, sometimes faith is a wife sitting at a cemetery watching her husband be lowered into the ground. I've seen both scenarios. And God was present in each one. See, God will, but God is. I'm going to say something. I didn't even ask for permission. I may have to ask for forgiveness later, but it was spoken publicly last week. Brother Tom Jamin is here by miracle. When he went to the emergency room, he spent two nights there or three, and then he went to the ICU for two or three, and then he came home with oxygen. He had a virtual appointment not too long ago, last week. The doctor told him, when I sent you home to die. Tom, are you dead? I didn't think so. I thought I saw you moving. Faith. That's faith. But Tom's good friend in Royal Ranger Ministry, they've been friends for many years. His name is Sarge Summers. Sarge stood out the hospital where his wife lay with COVID in that hospital room. He stood outside on the street 40 days straight, went to the hospital, to the location, and prayed for his wife's healing. He went to her funeral, and he testifies about God's grace, and he's serving God now. That's faith over there with Tom and Cynthia. And that's faith over there with Sarge. See, God is and God will, but just because God don't doesn't mean God isn't. See, faith is a high school student going and getting permission to start a Bible study on the campus. And they put up the posters, not knowing how it's going to go, but it's surprisingly embraced, and kids start showing up, and it's going well, and all of a sudden revival breaks out in the school. That's faith. But sometimes faith is a student who brings their Bible to class and they're ridiculed and mocked and mistreated. That's also faith. You know, faith might look like this. You go to your boss and you tell him, look, I know you want me to do this and this, but I cannot in good conscience lie or deceive any of the customers. I can't do that. And all of a sudden, you get a promotion for your integrity. That's faith, and we can testify. I told them, I stuck to the word, and God promoted me. That same faith could put you in the unemployment line. We just don't testify about that side of it. We testify about the healing side, the victory side, the blessing side. And we act like there's no faith on this other side. This is what faith is. And if it doesn't happen, then I don't have enough faith. Or, hey, God ain't real, and so I'm out. See, some people leave church because of people, but some people leave church because they lose faith. They shipwreck their faith. They abandon their faith because of a situation in their life. And I want you to know there's another side to faith. We have overemphasized wrongly the idea that if you just have faith, it'll always be good. Weren't you praying for them? They died? Where's your faith? Well, there went the judgmental punch in the gut. Here's a statement for this one. Our faith is in God and the big picture that we won't completely see on this side of eternity. Our faith is in God. How many of y'all done puzzles? I know some of you hate jigsaw puzzles. Can I see all the haters? Puzzle haters. That's what I thought. Yeah. Can I see those that you know that puzzles are a good thing and there's a right way to do it? You don't just start putting it, you dump it on the table, turn them all up, face up, do the border first. This is how you do it, Paul. Do the border first, and then we work on our sections, then we come together. There's a strategy. But you know what helps you with the puzzle? You ever get one of them pieces like, wow, that came out of a different box. That don't even belong here. Then you look at the cover. You see the big picture, and you go, ah, that does fit. It doesn't make sense now, but later some other pieces fell in place, and now what didn't make sense earlier makes sense now. God sees a big picture. We don't. We get pieces at a time. And so faith is in God and the big picture that He sees that we won't completely see this side of eternity. See, even when God doesn't, according to what you thought should have been done, God is. God is always. And when I say you can't please God without faith, that's the faith I'm talking about. Can you still say that God is after things don't go well? And I don't say that in a judgmental way. I look at myself in the mirror and say, Hammonds, what would you do if this took place? I forget the details of the story, it just comes to mind now, something I was reading, and I don't know if it was a child or a spouse, but something tragic loss. And the pastor's there, and the man comes up to him. They're crying together, and the man says this to the pastor, "I guess I'll see now if I believe what I say I do." 2 Timothy 4:7, Paul said this, "I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course." Do you know the rest? "I have kept the faith." I kept the faith. Paul went through much suffering. And after all of that, he's able to say, "I kept the faith." Some folks, they go through just a little bit, boom, faith is gone. When you go through, and I could name stuff, divorce, other family issues, job loss, mistreat, just whatever, fill in the blank. After you go through that and you're on the other side, like Paul, can you say, "You know what, I've been through this and this and this, and I've kept the faith." What does that mean, I kept the faith? It means I still believe God is. Well, God didn't do, I don't know, I don't see the big picture, but God is. God always will be. I believe in God. God is good, God is a healer, God is a provider. I don't have enough money to pay my bills, but God is a provider. Faith says God is. What if God don't? Can you still say that God is? Take me back to the faith that's in my bones. When I saw that in my bones, I thought, okay, what could this mean for me? It's down in the core. It's roots. It's the bones we don't see. If we can see your bone, you need to go to the doctor. Bones are hidden. And I'm telling you, there's people that you work with, people you know, that have, you think they're the heathen of heathens. But deep inside, there's a faith. It may be barely alive. One day you'll find out they were brought up in church. You'll be surprised at their backstory. And you'll realize that that faith is down in there. Could it be that they're crying out, not out loud, but within themselves, "Take me back to the faith that I knew as a child. I want to get back to that place. I want to get back to those kinds of people." Backsliders. I'm looking through the camera. If you're watching, if you're sitting here, you know you can backslide and still put on a good show. I want you to know, doors are open wide at Anglican First Church. You can come home. And if we're not your home, I'll find you a home. I'll find you another place. And if you come home, love on them. Let God, by His Spirit, do the work. He's already doing the work. Do your part. Hug. Compassion. Mercy. And then the greatest of all of these, our fourth point. Love. Take me back to the love I had at first. Faith, hope, and love. The greatest of these is love. The two great commandments in the New Testament. Love God with all of your heart. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love. In the book of Revelation, we find a church that had left their first love. And what we notice is Jesus calls them back to Himself. He doesn't condemn them. He doesn't cut them off. He just lets them know that He still loves them. Here's my point for this one. It's simple. God loves you. I just want you to know that God loves you. See, the thing is, when people go through stuff, circumstances, and they shipwreck their faith, they abandon their faith, and they find themselves out, maybe lost and wandering, away from the church, away from church people, confused, boggled, hurt, wounded. At this moment right here, the devil is very good about lying to them this particular thing right here. God doesn't love you, but God loves you. No matter what. No matter what. God loves you. Now, we're going to preach this whole message again in song. Would you use this song as opportunity to search your own heart, to worship whatever's in you? And I'm going to come back and address you final few things before we dismiss.
There was a time that I swore I would never go back. I was blind to the truth, didn't know what I had. I was running, I was searching, but every place I turned for healing left me more broken than the last. Take me back to the place that feels like home, to the people I can depend on, to the faith that's in my bones. Take me back to a preacher and a verse where they've seen me at my worst, to the love I had at first. Oh, I want to go to church. Tried to walk on my own, but I wound up lost. Now I'm making my way to the foot of the cross. It's not a trophy for the winners. It's a shelter for the sinners. And it's right where I belong. Take me back to the place that feels like home, to the people I can depend on, to the faith that's in my bones. Take me back to a preacher and a verse where they've seen me at my worst, to the love I had at first. Oh, I wanna go to church. Oh, I wanna go to church. And oh, more than an obligation, it's our foundation, the family of God. I know it's hard, oh, but we need each other. We're sisters and brothers. And oh, take me back to the place that feels like home, to the people I can depend on, to the faith that's in my bones. Take me back to a preacher and a verse where they've seen me at my worst, to the love I had at first. Oh, I want to go to church. Oh, I want to go to church. Take me back. Oh, to the love I had at first. Oh, I want to go to church.
That song is the cry of your heart. You're watching, and it's just in you to go back to church. Our doors are open. It's a good day to go back to church, amen? A lot of you are back for the first time this week. Many were back for the first time last week. It is good to see you. We need you. You need us. We need each other in this journey, amen? Come back to this place. We'll find you a good place. Come back to this people. We can find you. There's good people in good churches across our city. Or maybe you're in here. You're in the place. You're with the people. But you really need to come back to the faith. You've just been kind of in neutral, laying dormant, just keeping your distance. Kind of like Peter. Remember when Peter cut that guy's ear off? Remember, he told Jesus, "I'm your man, I'm going to stand up for you." And he did. He stood up in front of Jesus and cut that guy's ear off, just proving he meant, "I will defend you." I'm sure he expected an attaboy. But instead, Jesus kind of rebuked him and put that guy's ear back on his head. From that point on, the Bible says Peter followed at a distance. See, something happened in his life that brought confusion, and so he backed up. If you're here or you're watching, you've had something happen in your life that has brought some confusion, and now you have backed up. I want you to do like Peter did. Later in the story, Peter came back. Peter came back. He didn't quite get it back then. Jesus explained it later, and Jesus embraced him later, and it wasn't done. Peter came back, and Peter preached on the day of Pentecost the great sermon where thousands were saved. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me? If you're here or if you're watching, and some of you did this during our worship time, but maybe you just need to confirm it again. It's in your heart to start over. It's in your heart to come back to a faith that is still within you. It's there. It's harder to see. It's not as big. It's not as strong, but it's there. There's something in you that says, even though I don't like what God did or God allowed, I don't understand it, I'm confused, something in me still says that God is. You can't get rid of that. God is. That's faith. God is. So with heads bowed and eyes closed, if it's in your heart to come back to a faith, it's in you. Would you hold your hand up right now? Awesome. Father God, in Jesus' name, I'm praying for everybody in this house and those watching by TV who have a hand up. Their heart is saying, take me back. I want you to know the Father says, gladly so. He's already meeting you. Father, thank you for that. Lord, thank you for your compassion and your mercy. Now, Lord, help us as your sons and daughters to have that kind of compassion and mercy. To know when to hug and when to share and when to do this and that. Father, help us to love people as you do. Backslider, it's time to come home. If it's in your heart, take me back. You can come back to the faith right now. Just say, I receive Jesus. And then you can come back to the place next week. It's Easter Sunday. It's a good day to come back. Come back to the place. It's a good day to come back. Church, it's a good day to invite somebody to come back. Invite them to the Saturday event at the Kloop Park, and then they can get to know the people before they ever get to the place.
Thank you for listening today. For additional information or to call in a prayer need, you can reach Angleton First at 979-849-6112 or check us out on the web at angletonfirst.org. God's blessings upon you, and may His peace be yours today.